you to be disappointed. Don't be upset because you think your dad is going to be upset. You should be upset for you. Education is the only area where I spoil my kids right. When it comes to opportunities to get better, I am the deliverer. Whatever they're interested in, and sometimes whatever they're not interested in, I will provide every possible way for them to excel. There are times when my house is like the Make-A-Wish Foundation, except my kids seem to wish that they were somewhere else. My biggest failing as a parent is being unable to get my children to appreciate some of the incredible teachers they have access to. Hendrix, my son, he'll say things like, "Dad, can I go play my Skylanders game?" "What? David Beckham is teaching you how to kick a soccer ball right now." "Yeah, I know, but he's boring." "Son, that's David Beckham. He's one of the best soccer players in the world. Go take this goddamn lesson." "Oh, Dad, don't make me do this." "Heaven, I don't want to learn to dance right now." "But baby, that's Beyonce. She want to teach you some moves right now." "Yeah, I know, but I'm over her." "What? No, honey, wait a minute. You can't be over Beyonce. Okay, just show me the Run the World one more time from the top." "Dad, I don't think that guy knows what he's doing." "Son, what are you talking about? That guy is Chris Paul. He knows what he's doing. He's the best point guard in the NBA." "I know, but Mr. Klein at camp says that I should do it like this." "Son, first of all, you do not kick the ball in the hoop. Mr. Klein is a jackass. Okay? Mr. Klein isn't a 9-time NBA All-Star. What are you talking about?" "Dad, I gotta be honest. I like the way Mr. Klein does it better. I'm just gonna play on the iPad." "God damn it, son. All right. Okay." One day I brought my kids to Philadelphia so they could see the house I grew up in. I was prepared for them to be shocked, to be scared straight, to wrinkle their little noses and say, "How did you survive, Dad?" But it's not what happened. My daughter looked at the house and neighborhood and then turned to me and said, "I like it here. Can we stay?" "What the fuck? Wait, girl. What you talking about?" And that's when I knew that the lessons on my humility and appreciation had sunk in. Since then, I don't get as much time to teach them as I want to. Not because I'm working so hard, but because they've learned the lesson all too well. At the ages 12 and 9, they're busier than I am. Just yesterday, this is a conversation I had with them. "Hey guys, y'all want to go get some ice cream?" "Can't, Dad. Got soccer practice." "Oh, okay. All right. I guess we can go when you're done." "Nope. Can't, Dad. After that, we're meditating. We're learning how to meditate." "Oh, okay. That's cool. Well, what about tomorrow? Y'all want to do it tomorrow?" "Well, we got to see, Dad. We might have a spin club." "You got a spin club? When y'all, am I paying for this? Who? When did you guys do spin club? I don't even know what kids do that." "Yeah, Dad. You didn't know that? Well, just let me know when y'all got time for your father." "Sure, Dad. We'll try to figure something out. Fit you in." See, I believe that my work is done. In fact, there's a distinct possibility that I may have gone overboard. Chapter 98. There's always more. The other side of success is the backlash. "Oh my God, Kevin Hart is doing too much. When is he going to sit down? How many movies is he trying to do? I'm getting sick of him. It's too much. He need to relax." But who works hard just so they can relax? What was the point of the blood, sweat, and tears that I put in on that role from Philadelphia to New York and all across the United States if it don't keep going? Success is not an excuse to stop. It's a reason to move the goalposts farther out and accelerate. There's no destination, just a journey. And that journey is to keep building on top of what I'm building. When my comedy career got going, that meant it was time to get my acting career going. Now that my acting career is going, now it's time to get my writing, producing, and directing careers going. And then I'm ready to become a better CEO of my companies. I want to excel in the day-to-day operations, hiring, managing, preparing budgets, forming corporations, selecting health insurance plans, and especially understanding taxation. A few years ago, I rented a single office and conference room on the 15th floor of a building in Encino. I walked in with Harry and Joey on the first day and said, "This is Heartbeat Productions. You two, me, and this here office. You don't need to waste your money on this place like this." That's what Joey said. "Man, it's not a waste, because we're going to be in here working. And I'm talking about from sunup to sundown. This office is an investment in us creating our own TV shows, our own movies, our own social media team, and our own startups. Within a couple years, we expanded to 15 employees and took over half the 15th floor in the building. I now run 4 companies, Heartbeat Productions, Heartbeat Digitals, New Generation Promotion, and Laugh Out Loud Network, out of that space. I recently rented the whole damn floor. I don't even have enough people for the offices yet, but I know that I'm going to grow into them. And once I fill the floor, I will work to fill the building. There's always more. Here's a recent example of this approach that means a lot to me. One morning on What Now Tour before my daily run, I posted a tweet telling people to meet us in the park and run with us. 300 people showed up and ran through the streets of Brighton, Massachusetts. In the next city where I tried it, 3,000 people showed up. After that, it was 5,000 people. And then 6,500 people getting out of bed early and doing something healthier together. From there, I contacted Nike and set up a meeting with their executives. I walked in with the proof of impact I was having on people's fitness. I told them I wanted to use my influence to help people make decisions. I want to start running. I want to start exercising. I want to take care of myself. Put me in position to do it, I said. And I promise you that I'll do it in ways that have never been done before. They listened, and as a result, I became the first comedian ever sponsored by Nike. Together, we launched the Nike Hustle Heart sneakers and the Move With Heart campaign that to this day motivates people to run on our official Sunday run day. I willed the dream that I had at 18 years old before I ever discovered comedy to come true. I'm finally working for Nike. See, if you grind hard enough to stay true to yourself, all your dreams will come true. And even the ones that you forgot about. This book is not the story of my life. It's the story of my foundation. The construction of my life is still in progress. I refuse to relax. I refuse to get comfortable. I refuse to sit down. Okay, sometimes I sit down. But when I sit down, I'm still working. I'm on a quest to find the ceiling of what's possible in this life and raise it. So that my children and their children and their children's children will look at my accomplishments and go, holy shit. I'm chasing after that holy shit effect. If this sounds arrogant, that's because it is. If you don't believe in your own greatness, no one else will. You're limited only by your doubts, your fears, and your desire to fit in rather than stand out. And there's room in this world for all of us to stand out. Chapter 99, The Blueprint. Life is like a pack of cards. There are 52 cards in the deck, but only 4 of them are aces. The goal of life is to make your way through a crowded deck where the odds are stacked against you and draw an ace. Looking back over the decades covered in this book, I picked out 8 qualities that put me in a position to draw aces. These characteristics don't work alone. Like a recipe, they only create success when combined together in just the right amounts. Persistence. More than anything, my willingness to be persistent is responsible for the success I've had. My mindset is, it's okay to fail, but it's not okay to quit. Struggle, rejection, failure, and doubt break most people. Your goal is to learn from these challenges without letting them diminish your motivation. The secret to accomplishing this is simple. Let yourself be driven by your will to succeed rather than your fear of not succeeding. Patience. The companion to persistence is patience. It drives away anger, disappointment, and resentment when success doesn't happen overnight. Patience is understanding that your moment will come at the right time, and your job is to get ready for that moment. Because if it comes when you're not prepared, then it vanishes just as quickly. Know that your patience will always be tested, and if you can pass that test, you'll be tested again and again, until the rare few left standing reap the rewards. Class. It's easy to get bitten by what I call the false reality bug and start looking down on other people. Class, to me, is having a high level of humility and likability, and knowing that all human beings are equal and worthy of respect, understanding, and consideration. Even if someone has done something that seems harmful to you, you still have the option of handling it in a classy way by responding logically instead of emotionally. Class is an investment that will pay off your whole life, because the people you interact with can become your greatest allies or your greatest foes. There are no positive consequences to showing up anywhere with an attitude. Commitment. Whenever I do a performance, a film, or any type of production, I sign a contract. That contract spells out in specific words an obligation that I'm under. It includes being in a specific place, at a specific time, on a specific date, for a specific number of hours. In other areas of life, the details may not be written out on paper, but if there's a commitment, there's a contract. If you have a child, that's a contract. Your friends and relationship, those are contracts. Your career, your projects, your goals, your dreams, all contracts. The most important contract of all is your word to others and to yourself. If you do not honor your contractual obligations, then other parties won't honor theirs either, and you won't get the results you want. Though you always have the option of renegotiating your contracts, you don't have the option of breaking them unless they're a danger to you or others. Learning. The key to learning is to shut your mouth. Observe, listen, evaluate, and then choose. Every experience you have is a gift created to teach you a lesson. If you learn and implement that lesson in your life, then you get to receive the next gift. If you don't learn from it, then that same lesson will keep coming back to you over and over until you die standing in the exact same spot where you started, blaming others for something you should have done yourself long ago. In this world, there is nothing but life lessons. Pay attention to them, and the world will open itself up to you. Passion-centered competitiveness. This is the engine that drives all of those qualities. Having a passion, something you love that gives your life meaning and focus, is just the beginning. If you haven't found your passion yet, don't overthink it. Just start doing something you enjoy. The key that turns passion into directed action, though, is competition. It can be competition with yourself, with others, or even with history. After I found my passion, I saw how much others before me had accomplished, and I competed to get to that level. When I got there, I saw how many talented people were trying to get to my position, so I began competing to stay ahead of them. The important thing is to realize that you're not competing against anyone. You're competing with them. There are four aces in every deck, and there are an infinite number of decks. Positivity. What you put out is what you get back. If you want to achieve positive goals and experience positive relationships, then put out positivity. If someone else is putting out negativity, then maneuver around them like you would a puddle on the ground. If you respond with negativity, you'll only get dragged into the mud. It is a talent to stay positive and avoid negativity in the face of a sometimes cruel, unfair, and indifferent world. Cultivate that talent. It's the secret to living a happy life. Discomfort. This last quality is specifically for the high achievers. If you want to get far in life, then never get too comfortable. Don't stop, don't rest, don't be satisfied. As soon as you get comfortable, you're pressing a brake and halting your forward motion. It will be hard to accelerate again afterwards. This may seem like advice that goes against almost every self-help book ever published, but it is work that gives our lives meaning. That's not an original idea, that's in the Bible. One who is slack in his work is the brother to one who destroys. When you look back on your life, it should mean something. You should be able to say, wow, I made an impact on the world when I was there. And you don't create change by being comfortable. Behold these truths that I have given you. Go forth, prosper, and don't blame me if any of this advice doesn't work. Blame yourself for following the advice of a guy who tells jokes for a living. Surely there's someone wiser you could have chosen to listen to, like a professor, or a philosopher, or the Dalai Lama, or the wisest person of them all, the person listening to this book. All right. Well, guys, I mean, that was amazing. This has been an Audible Studios production of I Can't Make This Up, Life Lessons, written by Kevin Hart and Neil Strauss, performed by the Kevin Hart. Unless you didn't like me, which in case, this was A Comic Life by Jerry Seinfeld. If you didn't like me, the name of this book was A Comic Life by Jerry Seinfeld, read by Dwayne Johnson. Executive producers were Keith O'Connell and Mike Sharzik. Okay? It's also produced and directed by Kat Lambert. All right? Kat did an amazing job on this. Good job, Kat. Jesus Christ, even Kat can't say anything back. This is fucking stupid. I'm just talking to myself. This is engineered and edited by Steve Friend and Peter Mack. Hey, Steve. Hey, Pete. Good job, guys. You did some great sessions. I also want to say on record, I was the only black guy present at all of the recordings. So, just in case people were wondering, I was the only one, and it was fine. It was a great production. This was mixed by Darren Vermas. All right, show's over, people. You can go home. Wait, they probably are home. Where do people listen to this shit? Is it like in the car, the bathroom, or like in the gym? Or is it home? I just don't know where y'all listen. Whatever you're doing, do it without listening to this anymore. Guys, I don't know how to end this. What do I... What's the button? And what's the punctuation? Life lessons. I can't make any of this shit up. Thank you, guys.
Okay, thank you. All right, that was it. I just didn't know if I should stop. That's it. I'm done.
Good night.
Well, good morning.
Well, good afternoon, guys. I'm sorry. All right, that's it.
Just cut it off. Just cut the thing off.
I was so excited to have finished the book that I forgot to tell y'all who owns the copyright. So here it goes. Copyright 2017 by Kevin Hart. That's me.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.